You're listening to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, your host. Mind Your Own Business is a weekly show that we do talking to some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs, helping you to be better at being a business professional by learning from all of the experience that these entrepreneurs and CEOs bring from all around the world. Exclusively here on Inspired News Radio. And now it's time for Mind Your Own Business.
Well, it's a great day right here at Inspired News Radio. Hello again and welcome to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, and I will be your host and the leader of this journey. And trust me when I tell you it's going to be a journey today. I am going to take you into places, actually, not me, but my guest is going to take you into places today that you are not going to believe that can be, that where you are going to go and find a circuitous route. And it's going to be a fantastic journey. So keep your hands and your legs inside the ride because it's going to be fun today. We have got with us today a very, very special person. As most of you know, I've been in the solar industry for a long time. And this is a guy that goes way, way, way back. I don't think he's quite as old as the sun, but he's getting there close. He's known the solar business for a long time. And my guest, my friend, and a guy that I am super excited to have on the show today, Mr. Tom Lane. Welcome, Tom, to Mind Your Own Business. And how are you today, my friend?
Well, Scott, if I was any better, I'd be you. I mean, well, you're full of enthusiasm and just to let you know, I should let readers know I'm in Gainesville, Florida, and I'm involved. My company name is SolarWolf.org, and this is mainly about, you know, connecting you with you and your people on this radio station.
Well, I appreciate it. That's what we're here today to talk about. We're here to talk about, as most of my reader or most of my listeners know, you got me saying readers now. As most of my listeners know, we talk a lot about the origin story here. We talk about how your feet got put on this path and kind of the direction that you're going. And there you are in Gainesville, Florida, but that's not where the journey started. So, Tom, let's turn back the clock a little bit and let's talk a little bit about the man of your youth, the image of that man, and tell us a little bit about how your feet got put on this path and some of your early adventures. And then we will move into the sacred mushrooms and some of the things that we're talking about with your book, some really, really cool stuff. But let's turn back the clock a little bit and talk about you as a youthful sprout. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I was born and raised in the mountains of Tennessee, up where Virginia and North Carolina come together. And, as a child, you know, I never even saw a TV till I was 10 years old, and I played in the forest all the time. We sort of made our tools and everything. I was lucky I was in a neighborhood where there was a place called King College, not now King University, where most of the professors were Harvard and Yale. And so they got me excited about reading and learning about things. And I graduated in forestry from the University of Tennessee. And then I had a sort of a partial in-between trip, being on the Bureau of Indian Affairs, working in forestry, and then being in the 25th Infantry Division for 2 years. And they're called the Golden Dragons. And then after those 2 years, I was back on the Indian Reservation again and went to Mexico to see a friend of mine who was building geodesic domes. And while I was in Mexico, we wanted to go to this sort of like beach. It was sort of like one of the two hole-in-the-wall outlaw type beaches back in 73 because the government had a $50 bounty on catching Americans down there. And so you want to go places where the Army or the Federales wouldn't go unless they had a specific mission, and that was Barrio de Navidad. And I went into an old church, and they were selling all sorts of indigenous Indian items that were really beautiful. A lot of them were from the Huichol. In fact, I still have a couple of my bought from the Huichols, and I actually went to see the Huichols for about a week or two. But I was also intrigued by the sacred mushroom culture, and especially I heard about the sacred mushrooms, and so I decided to go to the archaeological museum that's really famous in Mexico City. It's one of the four biggest museums in the world, to try to learn what all this was about. And while I was there in the museum and seeing these motifs and seeing some of this stuff, it was just like I was being transported back into time because I could almost read what they were saying. I understood that the motifs were musical. And one experience especially, there's a Aztec goddess called Colakiki, or I'm not saying it right, it doesn't matter, but she's actually transferred herself into the Virgin of Guadalupe, which I write about in my book. She's become the Virgin of Guadalupe today, but I was standing with my back to her, and she represents both death and birth. And, you know, the thing you have in the infantry, you learn something like to almost feel like your skin's about to crawl, that somebody's behind you or something, or it's like if you're a hunter, you feel maybe a bear or predator is coming up beside you, just looking for the deer. And I sort of felt my skin crawling, and I looked around, and there she was. And it was an amazing effect on me. So I went to Chichen Itza, which that's where Quetzalcoatl left after he left the Toltecs. And he was Culiacan. He built a great temple there. If you clap out in front of it, in front of this pyramid, it'll make the sound of the Quetzal bird. But all these motifs were on the rocks and everything. I was like I could read them. And I had almost a miraculous event where, in the heat of the middle of the day, I was passing this door, and there was a guide at the time who asked me if I wanted to go up the top. Nobody wanted to climb through the pyramid up the top. It was unbelievably hard to climb those steps outside. Well, I went up with him, and he showed me the red jaguar inside, and that red jaguar is almost like its eyes were following me. Well, then after that, I went to Palenque, and that's where the San Isidro mushrooms grew. They named them after the patron saint of workers and people that worked hard. They usually gave these mushrooms somewhat of a Christian name, like or related to like a landslide or an ancient name, like little birds, pajaritos, or some of them, like the Zapotecas, were called the crown of thorns, the power of God. They were considered to be way too powerful for even the average curandero or curandero. And I did a sacred ceremony with Maria Sabina, the famous curando sabio. And that was an interesting event where I met my wife, and we were married 2 weeks later. But the main thing I'm trying to get across to people about the sacred mushroom today is what it's called, the Sacred Ceremony of the Deified Heart. Now, this ceremony of the Deified Heart was a ceremony typically done by either three groups of people. There were male and female priests in the Temple of Tlaloc that were dedicated followers of Quetzalcoatl. Now, Quetzalcoatl was one of the few gods that had both male and female priests. A lot of the gods only had female or male. And, of course, Quetzalcoatl had a lot of avatars, but the Toltecs allowed the Aztecs, to stay there because even though they didn't believe in sacrifice and warfare, and they preached against the political system of the Aztecs, they knew how to cause it to rain. They could heal. They were great healers, and they created the codexes and some of the statues that were to remind people about these sacred ceremonies as guides. Well, the other group was called the religious Eagle Knights. And these Eagle Knights were divided into two groups in the Temple of the Eagle. One group would dress as jaguars, and the other group would dress as eagles. Now, these were sort of like Kung Fu religious knights. And they were the only group of Aztecs that the Spanish never defeated. They had a fort carved way, way, way away from the city where they conducted the sacred ceremony of the Deified Heart. And it was literally carved out of a high mountain. And it was the only place that the conquistadors just gave up on, and it wasn't worth taking, and quit. And after it was left, and they left because most of the people were killed by diseases. It was refound in 1938, just like these stelas of Xochimilco were found in 1961, which were in the high Aztec temple and were broken into three pieces because that was a Spanish way of killing the sacred ceremonies. You broke them in pieces, like three, you painted them red and buried them. That was symbolic of the death of killing the ancient god. Well, the other group were called Pocatecas, and these people were really unique. They were dedicated followers of Quetzalcoatl. They didn't care about money, but they were merchants, and they were famous merchants. In fact, they were so good that the king would give them the same title as knights or whatever because of all the emeralds and jade and feathers and what have you they brought back to the empire. But they were sworn to fair trade, not to be a merchant that would take advantage of people. And they were also sworn to spreading the message of Quetzalcoatl, spreading the message of how to eat the sacred mushroom for the ceremony of the deified heart. Now, there's legends about them all the way up into the southwest of the United States, but you could say they were really all over central and southern Mexico, all over Central America, and especially over into Chile and Colombia. So many of my friends, since I've written my book, have just sent me so much information, and I may even have them in my next book about how they managed to cover all this area. The Pocatecas were also sworn when they came back to Teotihuacan, the city of God, which is a name created by Quetzalcoatl that he gave it centuries before the Aztecs. Anyway, they had to live in humble homes. They, of course, were wealthy, and the politicians and the rulers in Teotihuacan, the Aztecs, loved them because they brought all this wealth back. But they had to have a thing. If they got too wealthy or if they had accumulated too much, they would have to throw a festival and give it all away. In other words, have a big party and have everybody come get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. So these were the merchants of the day. These were this was the Amazon of the day.
No. The Amazon's way down in Brazil.
No. Sorry. You misunderstood. I meant the Amazon.com. They were the guys that were selling everything. The Walmart.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the empire stretched all over the place. And usually if you're a human being, if you travel a certain thing and you find there's something that somebody really, really values, like jade was incredibly valued. It was used in a lot of sacred ceremonies, and even people were buried with a jade little necklace in their mouth. And so jade was valued even more than gold because it had a symbolic, religious, spiritual effect to the color of plants. And when people would take the sacred mushroom, they could see a resonance with the earth and these sacred plants and jade. I think that's what it is. I don't know. I've never had that experience myself, but that's from many, many other experiences. That's what it seems to me.
Well, I want to unpack a little bit about what you were talking about. So first of all, I didn't know that there are multiple species of mushrooms. I mean, we're talking, when I thought there was one, you know, sacred mushroom, but you're talking about there are a variety of different mushrooms, it sounds like. So are there 10, 20, 100? How many? What is it? And do they all grow? Well,
let's stop there for a second, okay? There are books out on the different mushrooms. Paul Stamets has a good book, but basically the number one expert, the guy that knows 10 times more than anybody else on this planet, especially about psilocybe mushrooms, is Alan Rockefeller. Now, Alan Rockefeller has some websites, and he's famous for anybody that studies mushrooms or anybody that knows about these sacred mushrooms. And he often speaks at colleges, or he speaks on the West Coast. He's going to be up in Georgia with me in October, but he's like a really scientist, does the DNA, and he has this beautiful, beautiful poster from Mexico. He spends about half a year down there because they have more there than anywhere else in the world. It has about 20 different sacred mushrooms on the poster in Spanish with their Latin names and their Spanish nicknames, and it's just gorgeous. His friends sell it down out of Mexico. And then there's all sorts of ones known about in the States. And the crazy thing, I had to be underground and hide this stuff back in the early 70s in St. Louis when I was doing it. But now spores are legal to be sent through the mail in most places because they don't send psilocybin. And these people all over the place, if they can cook rice and vermiculite and water together and inoculate it with these things, I mean, it's easy. I mean, this is like ninth grade science or eighth grade science to just make these batches today. And it's really changing. And I'm trying to let people know that more than the pharmacological world where you sit on a couch and somebody put glasses over you and they play Mozart, there's another world. And in this other world, there's people that are there. And you can meet them and see them. And you need to be out in the wilderness when you do this. But I'm trying to tell people about the sacred ceremony, the deified heart. So once they get past that, they'll know what I'm talking about. Now, somebody should have done the mushroom several times, especially during the day in a garden away from anybody, by themselves or one person and not talking, and taking a lot of mushrooms and taking them during the day. Because you'll see the plant, especially if it's a day with the light rain or sunlight. That's what the little children of the waters mean. You'll actually see them and playing and singing to God and praising God. Now, the and lightning and everything in clouds, it's amazing what you can see. But in the sacred ceremony of the deified heart, the idea was to fast for a day and a half. And about 3 hours before you take the sacred mushrooms, you would take the cacao beans, not chocolate like you get in a store, but you can buy this stuff online. They're everywhere now. The cacao beans, are raw beans, and put them in a freezer. And when they get cold, grind them because that helps preserve them not getting hot. And you're making this drink, which has two psychomimetic drugs in it that are like bliss transmitters. One of them, PA, which is when lovers are in love, that causes you to be enamored with the other person, and the other is another bliss transmitter, plus theobromine, which is like caffeine, but it's better for you, and just all sorts of things to make you feel good. I mean, my goodness, the chocolate in it I love, but see, the Dutch process destroys the neurotransmitters. Well, after that, in this ceremony, the key point to any of your listeners is to go in the woods or a cow pasture and gather living sacred mushrooms in baskets in the situation, in the soil where they are, in little pots and in baskets, and talk to them and bring them in with you. When you bring them into the place where you're going to have the ceremony, in a house or whatever, maybe sprinkle a little water on them, but talk to them. Give them your thanks, and then that night you're going to have a ceremony. Now, I typically like to put four candles down and some local flowers, and the candles are mainly to provide light. But when the ceremony starts, or before it starts, of course, you're drinking the cocoa to get feel good. And you know, Quetzalcoatl gave cocoa to his followers for two reasons. One was an aphrodisiac. I mean, the Aztecs would have all sorts of orgies with cocoa and other plants they took, but this was for two people as a sacrament if they were in love, and it was also to prepare for the ceremony of the deified heart, so you'd be in a good mood, so your body would feel good, because it's really important for your body to feel good, because your body and your heart are going to be the driving, educating, intelligent force. Now, when you take these mushrooms, you sit around in a circle with people, and you sing to them, and you sing what comes out of your mouth. Precede songs. You got to feel the earth. And one thing is, if you be on a synthetic rug or actually be on the ground and rub some dirt on your legs or something from the pots where the mushrooms are, but sing to them and make it come from your heart. Make it something that you thank them for being food, just like food, like bread and milk. Not that they were just fed for your soul, but you also are telling them that you respect them as flowers of the blood, and you're taking these by an intent to bind yourself and to meet and become Quetzalcoatl. Now, the secret of this ceremony when you take these mushrooms, is what my curandero showed me, you take them two at a time, and you're looking at them mainly two at a time as male and a female, because Quetzalcoatl was half male and half female. And so when you're taking these sacred mushrooms, you have that image with you, but you're absolutely covering them in honey. The Aztecs had a black sort of bee that was like a wasp that made honey, but the cones were much thinner than ours. Now, curandero brought me some and showed me how to use it. But in talking about this, when you take these mushrooms covered in honey, two at a time or more, you put them in your mouth, and you chew and you chew and you chew and you chew and you masticate, you masticate, you never swallow. What I'm talking about is never, ever swallowing. Now, if you've got that, the saliva in your mouth and the honey, which is so pure of food, you could put it on your arm. Honey doesn't even have to be digested. It can go in your body. They're hydrolyzing and changing the carbohydrates in the mushroom to a maltose and then into pure glucose, and all the psilocybin has been changed into psilocin, and the roof of your mouth and your gums and your tongue, all of that is going straight in the bloodstream, right in the back of your neck to your spine and to your brain, 100%. That's bypassing the stomach and the inside of your cheeks, which are, you know, if you pinch your cheeks, that's the other side. That's going straight through the facial capillaries directly to the ventral aorta of the heart. It's not going into the stomach either. That's why they call it the ceremony of the deified heart, because you're going to feel like your heart is burning, and it's burning with the like sacred love of Quetzalcoatl, or what they call the sacred heart of Christ. But the biggest thing in this is, you don't pay attention to dosage. You just keep eating. And there'll be a point when your body will disappear and you'll feel like all you're left is a skeleton, and even the skeleton disappears. And then you're just your teeth. And of course, you've consumed it all by then. You don't have to spit anything out. And at that point in time, you reappear. You just like reappear as a human right on the mat. And for most people, like with me, it felt like my spine was coming loose. It was like it was a sidewinder. I was like, my whole spine was moving in a serpentine pattern. And I've told a lot of people, they call it the Kundalini, and they call it this and that. You can, like I say, you can call it what you want, but I'm just telling you what's happened. And my whole body was lighting up. But this is the point in time the curandero said it's time to meet Quetzalcoatl. And I've been in ceremonies recently in Utah in the desert where we've done these ceremonies. And when this happens, you go out to meet Quetzalcoatl, and it's just like it says, millions and millions of diamonds. That's what they say all the way from the remote Indians in Colombia to the Mayan Indians to the Mixtec to the Mazatec to the Zapotec, all over the place in Central America. Yes, this diamond plumed rainbow male-female serpent comes, and it's not like big like Godzilla or a dragon in a, I guess, a Days of the Nights. It's big as a house. It comes a little bit bigger than human size, and when it comes, if you're outside, you'll know why they call it the wind god, because in the still of the night, like I was Utah in the desert, I mean, it was like so still. The sun had been down a long time, and all of a sudden it's like a whirlwind, and sparks were being thrown around in the fireplace in a circular pattern and thrown on us. And it was like then Quetzalcoatl arrived. But when he's coming through the portal, you could see him coming through the portal, and it's like red and blue lights. And then he appears as with millions and millions of diamonds. Just imagine any dragon. You can imagine a typical dragon. They say he's a Naga Buddha, but Quetzalcoatl discovered this ceremony. And he was a man king, and after he died, this method I'm telling you about, taking the sacred mushrooms, became legendary. Now, when this happens, and Quetzalcoatl's coming, and you've seen, it's millions and millions of rainbow-type lights coming out from his center. I mean, they're flashing out all over. And a lot of his followers walk forward and walk into him, and it changes into one single diamond, and you're inside the millions and millions of diamonds with all these lights. And at that point, you've overcome death. You're in a place where life reigns supreme, and kindness and empathy and love as the budding forces of life are what's creating healing in the bodies in who you're with. Now, look, I'm not the only one. Don't anybody start calling me and asking me about this, because there's other people, but I've talked to a lot of healers and even people who have psychiatric services that have done this, and they've talked about Quetzalcoatl totally swallowing them and their patient in this ceremony and healing them and coming out. When I was in the desert about 4 or 5 weeks ago, there's a guy that had been in a motorcycle accident, all broken up. And when Quetzalcoatl came, it was like a huge snake was swallowing him. It's like it's moving through his body like a snake. I mean, don't take this as weird, but I almost felt like I was going to laugh because I knew he was going to come out healed. And of course he came out healed. And my leg, I'd blown it out hiking 2,600 miles on the Appalachian Trail for 6 months, a year and a half ago. And I could only do one step up and one step. My whole knee was totally healed. But this power of when Quetzalcoatl comes like this is the greatest healing ceremony there is. It's some people get divination or they get any of the intuitive senses. But after this ceremony that you participated in, the participants gain the right to call themselves Quetzalcoatl. If you participate in the sacred ceremony of the deified heart, which the idea was that you were born, and you were born on this earth, and that's when your spirit came into you, when air came into you, and that's the most important day of your life. But the next important day, sort of like I think Mike Twain said the same thing, is when you find out why you were born and what you're doing here. And the Aztecs just considered you a vagrant on the earth. They just considered you almost like a hobo or a homeless person. And two, you knew why you were carrying yourself on the earth. They call, why are you carrying yourself anywhere? Well, the sacred mushroom ritual of the deified heart was for birth and resurrection. It was a lot like the story of Quetzalcoatl going into the underworld as with the sacred jaguar and going through the underworld to overcome the forces of the underworld and reascend to bring a spark of divinity to mankind so mankind could feel the connection between nature, himself, and the cosmos, you know, like as a religious force of life and love transferring itself, especially during sunlight, back and forth and through the rain to the earth. Now, in this sacred ceremony, the deified heart, number one, you know, you're taking cacao. Number two, you were singing to these sacred mushrooms with all your heart. And sometimes they would actually dance or move in the pots, or stipes would move back and forth. But the important thing when you took them, you said prayers and thanked them for being food and thank them for finding you and helping you prepare yourself to bind yourself to Quetzalcoatl. This is a binding self to try to have the same spiritual life as Quetzalcoatl and to have a life of penance and self-sacrifice and understand a lot of these mysteries of life, because the idea was that time started with God. That's what Quetzalcoatl taught. Time started with God. All the Toltecs wanted to put up a symbol or symbol. And he said, there is no symbol. God's everywhere, flowers, trees, everywhere. They said, we want a symbol. And he felt he had to do it or they might get back into human sacrifice. So he made a symbol with like the cross with two arms outstretched. And he said, one is love and the other is pain. And you have to like embrace the pain because this causes the movement of the world. And that's what God liked. Now, the priests and the Pocatecas that learned these sacred mushrooms of the rituals were really worried against the third thing Quetzalcoatl said that God gave man he didn't like, and that was knowledge. And it wasn't so much because of Adam and Eve that you know the difference between good and evil. the Quetzalcoatl god was upset because it made a lot of men arrogant because they learned a lot of these secrets and these mysteries, etc., with Ethogens, that they would be arrogant and try to think they were special or be narcissistic or pompous, you know. So that's one thing the sacred mushroom people, the followers and the hierophants of Quetzalcoatl, are incredibly careful about, almost to the point of being scary, is they don't want to be singled out as anything special because they realize this power is in the mushroom and the people have to use it to heal themselves. You know, they have to deal with the fact that these healing powers are easy, but you have to accept them and deal with them. I mean, I'd seen an American woman one time when we were singing to the mushrooms, and I realized nobody had even had any mushrooms yet. And they were moving and back and forth, and she passed out. Now, it was lucky she was sitting on a straw mat. And we woke her up the next day, and everybody talked to her and said that was real, that she wasn't, it wasn't hallucinating, but she couldn't handle the reality. Well, you're going to go into a much deeper reality than that when you take these mushrooms and cover them with honey, and by subepilepal and buccal administration, they go straight in your mouth and through your cheeks to your brain, your spine, and your heart. And the feeling was that that's when your whole face will start to glisten because your heart is going to be planted as your soul life on your face, and your whole body will start to glow. Now, this may amaze you, but when you see somebody and they're in that ceremony, even if you're a non-participant, it'll look like there's flashes of lights coming out of their eyes. I mean, there'll be biophotons, an unbelievable amount of light coming out of their eyes, but their body and face will be glowing so much, it's going to light the sky up. I mean, this is a transmission of an ancient ceremony to meet and become Quetzalcoatl, the winged, plumed, diamond, rainbow serpent that comes, and he comes to heal people. He comes as a life force to heal people. Now, for a few people that have gone into another Sapa mushroom ceremony called the Journey into the Underworld, and this journey is usually mostly, sometimes women do it that have been midwives, but it's mainly done by men who've been soldiers, or men are just knuckleheads like me, and I'm not afraid to look at dark knowledge, even though afterwards I wish I hadn't. But it was into the underworld, and I was at a place where every leaf was a rattlesnake trying to bite me on a tree at night, and all the roots were trying to eat me of trees like they were rats. And, you know, when you get to a place like that, you have an epiphany, and the one thing you understand is you've made it to hell. Well, then the way out, you got to figure a way out. And to form a vision of Quetzalcoatl, or like form a vision of the living Christ or any sacred person to you, the first message is to love what you're seeing. When you love what you're seeing, it all goes back. The rats go back into the trees, and the snakes go back in the leaves. And you can be alone with like Christ or Quetzalcoatl or the white light or whatever you want to call it in this sacred ceremony. But the biggest thing is you don't want to talk a lot when this, because you're going to have a lot of things that happen by intuition, astral traveling, you name it. But what I'm talking about in the sacred ceremony of the deified heart, for very few people, normally men, the first time he comes is like a huge black dragon dripping with blood and black blood, and totally a black dragon with skulls around his belt, and looking like he's going to rip you apart, end of your oblivion. But your reaction to that is, oh, joy. You're so happy because you're so filled with love. You know that when this black dragon eats you, he'll turn into love, and he'll turn into pure kindness and empathy, which are healing.
That's part of the healing.
And so what happens is all of a sudden he changes into the jewel-winged serpent. And every time after that, every ceremony after that, that's all you see is a jewel-winged serpent. And
well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the future here now. So do you host these sacred ceremonies? You said that you were going to be in Georgia in October, but so Let's talk a little bit about the listeners right now that are like me, just completely enthralled with what you're talking about. I mean, I'm like, okay, I'm sitting here, with my very worldly, very American mind sitting here going, okay, first of all, is it safe? Am I, who's watching us? You know, who's keeping me from walking off of a cliff? You know, so all of those things are kind of going on in my brain. But so talk to us about, jump in.
Well, if you go to a website called Reset, reset.me, you'll understand if you punch on topics, all the universities and the research, like regrowing brain cells and stopping cluster headaches and all the amazing medical things. And big pharma and the Silicon Valley millionaires are going nuts to try to produce this stuff as a pharmacy, which has some benefit. Like I said, I prefer it as a sacrament in nature with reverence to nature, because of the portals it opens. But, you know, a pill was costing $7,000. Well, you can go out and find it in the cow field where your only law you can break is a trespassing law, or you can go out in the woods and find it where, you know, or you can grow it for almost nothing, you know, huge batches for all you got to have is rice water and vermiculite and these syringes. There's places like SporeWorks.com. I'm not trying to advertise anybody, but it's all over the dratted internet, and people on Facebook, they're always showing me these huge batches they're growing.
Well, okay, but let's get back to the question, which is, you know, so are you hosting the ancient ceremony of the deified heart? Are you the host?
I'm too old for that. I sometimes do it with people in the desert where I know some people that are what I call hierophants or followers of Quetzalcoatl and secret groups, and they host it, and often they have a sacred mushrooms and sometimes ayahuasca too. But there are certain groups I'm associated with, people in the mountains of Mexico and down there, that I respect what they're doing because they're not charging a lot of money. So I like just showing up, and I just maybe being an advisor, you know, and giving advice to people, because number one thing, I don't want people think that I'm some sort of guru or something, but I want to make sure, like the American Indians at their website, don't pay to pray.
Right. Okay. Let's take 2 seconds then, and to wrap things up here and say, okay, you've got us, you've opened our brains a little bit. You've got a little bit of information flowing around. Can we find some additional information at thesolarwolf.org? Is that where we would go?
My book, it's going to be real cheap at the end of the month. Is that, I think,
July 25th.
July 25th. I think it starts at $1 or something like that.
99 cents.
But the one thing I wanted to tell people, you know, what I've told you about the Stelas of Xochimilco, which I haven't even really covered, are these codexes. All this information I put now is only in the last 28 pages of my 308-page book, because I'm writing another book about this. I wanted people to know about it. But I say this is for only 1% of the people. This is only for the 1% that actually want to meet and become Quetzalcoatl, normal people. But I explain how to heal yourself with the sacred mushroom, with what I call the sacred triangle. And it's real simple. And I say, look, if you take the sacred mushroom, you're a place where you're away from noise, you're away from electricity, you're a natural place. I love to take it during the day to see all the mystical aspects of the deities and spirits that live during the day. If you take it at night and you take it to heal yourself, once your conscious mind at its highest level, there's 5 levels of the conscious mind, but once the conscious mind in total awareness, beyond time, of any type of time, comes in contact with your unconscious, and you have good and bad parts of your unconscious, and then your living body, as soon as you get beyond any fear of death or a fear of your ego that you say, okay, that's gone. Well, then at that point in time, you can use your breath to heal yourself, because your breath is your spirit and your soul resides in your body, which is an expression of your character. But one of the reasons I like to take sacred mushrooms during the day is if you think a good, happy thought, your whole arm starts to glow. Your arm starts moving and it's glowing and you can feel good. Well, your body can teach the mind. And what I'm trying to say, if you have a negative thought, it's just a channel. You know, you came into the world with your epigenetic DNA and maybe the archetypes and stuff, but you've learned good channels to listen to and bad channels since you're born. And you're affected by all sorts of things, but you think this really nasty, bad thought, you can immediately see the effect in your body. So your body's teaching to transition and get that thought out of your body. That's why it cures opioids. I don't see how people don't understand this so well. If you have an opioid and you're trying to resist it, you got that little teeny conscious mind above the monstrous iceberg of the subconscious below, and it's defending and it knows all the rules and people are on guard. But then you do something stupid. You take a Xanax or somebody drinks a little bit too wine. The next thing you know, you're taking heroin or fentanyl, and you just about killed your damn self because the unconscious was crying out the body because the body felt like it needed it. But when the body gains control, when the body gets into its intelligence, when the heart gets its intelligence as living flesh, it's saying to the mind, hell, that's crazy. We can't do this. This is destroying the body. I feel like shit. Look what you're doing. And so now you're conscious and unconscious mind, and you have an epiphany. And that's when you're like a cicerone, you're guiding through this world, and all these people are going to heal you. You just have to ask to be healed. Well, you're doing it yourself. There's no doctor. There's no medical thing. There's people in this world that'll help you, but it's really simple. It's so simple. You know, any type of negative, bad thought is going to make your body feel mind, and your conscious and unconscious mind now know it at the same time your body's educating you. And you can just breathe and breathe or think a good thought. You know, try to think about angels. Think about something you're grateful for. Try to do anything you can, or at least just quit breathing and have thoughts, because when you move your breath up and down your spine, and don't hold your breath, that's nuts, but you might stop it for 5 or 6 seconds or even 10, and press it against your spine, you can feel it driving this stuff out of the body. And on the first mushroom, Vilatus, sometimes I've seen people throw up stuff you wouldn't imagine, that stuff goes out of their body. This is a type of exorcism of things that are hidden in your body. And you can't explain this. I'll give you one example. I was in a place where Schultes and Hoffman and Wasson was, and this guy was given a secret report, its own tapes. It could only be given at this conference. They couldn't write it down because it's a government agent. And this woman was dying of cancer. She had seen like 5 or 6 doctors in the States, and she's totally dying of cancer. They gave her less than 3 months to live. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. I understand.
Okay, so I said, why not just give her mushrooms? And they gave her mushrooms. Well, she took mushrooms, and what happened is unbelievable. She was like two months pregnant, something like that. And the baby got in touch with her, and the baby got really upset, told the mother, I want to live. You know, if you die 3 months from here, I can't even be born. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And at the time, I thought that was mental telepathy, because the sacred mushroom would cause you to have things like ESP and mental telepathy and clairvoyance. But later in 2012, I read in Scientific American magazine that the baby and the mother were sharing brain cells. Well, the thing of it is, a month and a half after this woman, one and a half months before she was supposed to die, she was totally gone of cancer. So she'd use this
You're attributing that to the mushroom as to be the healing force that removed the cancer from her body.
I'm telling her it caused her to have an epiphany, and it gave her a reason to live. And if you have an epiphany, and if you fight to live, if there's a reason for you to live, I mean, then you will live. I mean, it could be something as terrible as hatred. Let's say I was I don't know, like some of these ethnic groups, and they want to get back at your great grandfather or family or you because of something that was done six generations ago. That's insane. Well, the mushroom will cure that. But this is a type of thing that sometimes mushrooms do things in the body that unbelievably cause the body to heal itself. Just pumping a lot of air into the body. I mean, there's like these angels in the air that are like etheric spirits, especially if you're in pure air. If you start pumping these in your body and you start pumping these in your body when your heart is deified and it's pumping all those mushrooms in and it's sacred, all this air coming in is going to heal you. It's unbelievable healing powers, but healing is what I'm saying.
Yes, I understand. And I can't believe that I'm going to say this, but we are running out of time. I can't believe that we've already been talking about this for an hour. I am so, I think we're going to have to do another episode just because we've just barely scratched the surface. So I want to thank, first of all, Tom Lane, my old friend, and the guy that is just absolutely, you just amaze me. Every time that I sit at your feet and I listen to these stories, you regale us with the information that you have accumulated over the decades of studying and spending time doing this. And I have to tell you, what an amazing journey. I can hardly wait to understand more. So if you're listening to this right now, obviously you need to buy Tom's current book and get on the waiting list for his new one. You can find more information at www.solarwolf.org. You need to know who Tom Lane is. He is an incredible guy. He comes out of the solar industry, obviously, but now standing up on every soapbox you give him, and he will spend time telling you all about the sacred mushrooms and the ancient ceremony of the deified heart. It's just,
and there's many other ceremonies too. There's lots and lots of other ceremonies, but the most basic ceremony is just for healing.
Yeah, I agree. And I am so excited that you gave us an hour of your life to come over to Mind Your Own Business and tell us a little bit about what's going on. I'm encouraging all of our listeners right now to find out for yourself, do some research, get a hold of Tom, go to thesolarwolf.org and get in touch with Tom and his resources. Tap in and find out what's going on. So, Tom, thank you so much for the time that you've given us today.
I appreciate you, because in today's world, it's people like you to get the word out and spread it. I mean, I'm just a little guy and I never really knew much about marketing except running a little solar contracting company. But, you know, I know in this world today, the more a message can get out, then other people will start to bring you stories of the same thing, too. You'll start to hear from other people about Quetzalcoatl.
Absolutely. And we will have all of this information and all the links that Tom has mentioned up on Inspired News Radio. I want to thank all of the folks over at Inspired News Radio. They do a fantastic job for hosting my show, Mind Your Own Business. And if you don't know about Inspired News Radio, the reason why that this information fits so well with what's going on at Inspired News Radio is because their mantra is a positive program that is delivered to the world that is designed at the very beginning, designed to inspire, inform, educate, and motivate. And Tom hits all of those buttons. Tom takes care of all of that. He gives you information and informs you. He's educating us about Quetzalcoatl and all of the things that are going on with the ancient ceremony of the deified heart. Get a copy of Tom's current book. It's going to be at a reduced price starting on July 25th. Go to his website at www.solarwolf.org and get information. Plug in, tap in, spread the word, get on all the social medias, and make sure that you are talking about Tom Lane and the things that are going on with him. Thank you so much for your time today, Tom. I really, really appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you hopefully in October when maybe I'll get a chance to come out to the conference and get a chance to sit with you and maybe get a selfie. You never know. When you talk about marketing now these days, it's almost required. You have to have a selfie.
Well, I like to let people have a camera, but normally I never take a selfie. But you know, I'm really inspired by what you're doing. I mean, you know, Inspired Radio, and, you know, sometime even before October, what a lot of people like to talk about is my experiences in Baltimore, my experience with Maria Sabina. And that's one thing I'd like to really leave a message about by her, and not just about what I'm saying about Maria Sabina, but some of the places they can go online to get information about her musical poetry.
Well, all you need to do is send that over to me on email, and we'll get it up on the website and make sure all those links are there. And let's save that for our next episode, because I can guarantee you, after the feedback I get from our listeners, they're going to want a follow up. So we're going to have to schedule another hour with you, because then we can pick another ceremony. We can talk about Maria Sabina. We could talk about whatever else that you want to talk about, because I'm sure that when my listeners hear this, they're going to say, I got to have some more Tom Lane. So until next time, all the time, mind your own business, because you're the only one that will.
You've been listening to Mind Your Own Business, right here on InspiredNewsRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in each week as we interview some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs of the world. You can reach us on Twitter at INR Talk Radio. Always use the hashtag MYOB for Mind Your Own Business. Make sure you stop by and check out all of the past episodes and all the great things that are available on our website, www.inspirednewsradio. There's great resources there that you can find for all of our other shows, too. Thanks for being a part of the Inspired News Radio family. Until next week, remember to mind your own business.